Welcome to the Cairns Writes Podcast, home of science fiction, fantasy, and horror author Michael Cairns, me. If you like what you hear today, you can find more at cairnswrites.com and download free sci-fi novella, Childhood Dreams.
In episode 14 of Scarlet's Web, Scarlet, with a little help from her two champions, finally escaped the terrible world of Skinny Scarlet. Her sickeningly thin counterpart was a little upset at arriving in a new world, but not nearly as upset as Scarlet was when she heard who was at the front door. Scarlet's Web, episode 15. "I didn't know Martin had moved on," Scarlet's mum said. "I thought he was still teaching you." Scarlet felt the blood drain from her face. Her hands dug into the sheets and made great fistfuls of them, squeezing until her forearms hurt. "Mum, could you, maybe, I don't know, be Skinny's mum for a bit?"
"Skinny?
Sorry, Scarlet."
"Huh?"
Scarlet shuddered. It was never easy when she was reminded how similar the two of them were, but the look of confusion on Mum's face matched her own far too well.
"Yeah, she's me," Scarlet said. "From another dimension."
"I took a brain to another dimension. Pay close attention." It was Scarlet's turn to look confused. "What was that about?"
"It's a song, sweetheart. Surely you've heard of The Prodigy," her mum said.
She opted not to answer and slipped out of the room before the conversation could get any weirder. Red came with her and the two of them raced down the stairs. The front door was letting a cool breeze in, welcome release from the warmth of the house. Summer was here, and it actually felt like summer, which sucked. Scarlet could list the ways in which summer sucked, but it always came down to clothes. She wore jumpers and trousers and stuff that was baggy and concealing. So she was looking at months of either sweating like a paedophile on a school bus or never leaving the house. Neither choice filled her with glee. She stopped at the front door and eyeballed the man standing there. He was wearing a black suit with a black shirt and black tie, and she giggled. "You guys really don't live in the same house as Subtle, do you?"
"Hello, Joanna. Your mother was most confused when I asked if you lived here."
"Yeah, well, she's confused most of the time. What can I do for you?"
"May I come?"
He trailed off, his eyes fixed on Red. Scarlet grinned.
"Yeah, that was my response too."
He didn't react, and she thought just maybe he was thinking something other than, leather. He finally raised a shaking hand.
Who are you?"
"Red Riding Hood. A pleasure."
For some reason, her soft European tone seemed stranger here, back in real reality. The thump back into normality took a sudden turn to the left as Scarlet glanced at Red and saw someone completely at odds with the world around her. Then she saw the leather and turned hurriedly back to the council member. The man's mouth opened and closed, but only a vague sort of hissing sound emerged.
"Were you going to say something?" Scarlet asked.
"She is... that is to say, the Red Riding Hood?" It was so rare to be on the knowledgeable end of things. Scarlet folded her arms, leant against the doorframe and grinned.
"Yep, cool, huh?"
The man blinked, eyes wandering now. When they settled on Scarlet, she wondered whether he was about to faint.
"You okay?"
He nodded absently.
"How did you find her?"
I just went to another dimension, you know, as you do, and there she was. Killed the big bad wolf too, very badass."
"You just went to another dimension, just like that?"
Scarlet's grin turned sheepish.
"Well, I kind of messed up the ingredients layout and ended up in one. But after that, I just thought about going to a new place, and there I was."
The man shook his head, his full attention now back on Scarlet. "My name is Banner. I have come to offer you a scholarship to the council. Following your success the last time we met, we have discussed your future and believe it should be with us. We can teach you a great deal, and you will be in a place with like minds, where you no longer have to keep your clearly exceptional talents a secret." She had at least 50 questions, not least of which was whether she had to wear black, bad for her skin tone, and talk in one of the silly low voices. But the first one that came out was more of a disagreement.
"I have a master. I don't need the council."
The man glanced down at his hands as they folded and unfolded before him. "Yes, well,
I am sure once you check your email, you'll discover that your master is unlikely to be back soon. Our people have spotted him in Australia, with a woman who bears a quite remarkable resemblance to his wife. Her mouth went dry and she tried to smile. The corners of her mouth did turn up ever so slightly. Martin had found her. She wants to be thrilled for him and was sure she would be any moment now. Excuse me. She took the stairs two at a time, which left her ready to vomit when she shoved open the door to her room. Mum was on the bed, cuddling Skinny, whose sobs had become quiet sniffles. Go, Mum. Ignoring them, Scarlett grabbed her laptop and sat on the floor. She checked her messages, ignoring the 7 that informed her she'd won the lottery. The Belgians seemed to have a lot of lotteries, and almost all for like 80 squillion euros. She imagined these warehouses filled with money from all the genuine emails that dropped into spam or were ignored. There was one from Martin. Dear Scarlett, I hope you are well and not suffering too much from your lack of lessons. Was he being sassy? He was, just a bit. I'm thrilled to inform you that I have found my wife. She fled here a couple of years ago in fear of her life and couldn't risk exposing herself. I'm going to stay here with her for a while. It may be a long time before our next lesson. I would advise you to stay safe and be careful. I will be in touch when I have a better idea of how long I intend to remain here. Yours, Martin. Scarlett stared at the screen, one fingernail tapping gently against the side of the keyboard. Something wasn't right here, but she couldn't quite put her finger on it. Maybe it was that her master had buggered off to the other side of the world and wasn't coming back. She put her head back against her bedside table and closed her eyes. Mum tapped her on the shoulder. Everything all right, love? Martin's staying in Australia. Oh, goodness. What did the man downstairs say? He wants to offer me a scholarship. So they'll pay. Do they do A-levels? It's not that kind of school, Mum, but yeah, I think that means they pay. Well, that's nice, then. Yeah. She pushed the computer off her lap and headed downstairs, considerably slower than the previous time. The man waited in the doorway, but Red was gone. Scarlett poked her head into the kitchen. Red froze, one hand gripping a jar of peanut butter, the other holding a spoon midway between the jar and her mouth. You all right? Scarlett asked. Red nodded, eyes flicking down to the jar and back up to Scarlett. Knock yourself out, really. She left the room, trying to decide whether the day could get any more surreal, and went back to the front door. So, a scholarship, yeah? Do we have to pay anything? He shook his head. Not a penny. You have extraordinary powers, Joanna, quite extraordinary. Well, you know, they aren't actually mine. I'm just the con thingy to bring them through from the shadows. His eyes widened again and she sighed. It really was one of those days. Conduit. You mean conduit? His voice was faint and flat, and this time she was sure he was going to pass out. Do you want to come in and sit down? He nodded, staggering gratefully past her and slumping into a seat in the lounge. She sat on the sofa and rested her elbows on her knees. So tell me, she said. Last time I was in the council, you captured and tortured my master and sent me some crappy unfair test. Why the hell would I want to come to the council? He blinked and cleared his throat. His voice started out sounding strained, but he soon got into his stride. Yes, well, that was a series of most unfortunate incidents, wasn't it? However, you are invited this time, and not by some common thugs. Those watchers who brought you really are the lowest form of scum. Powerful, though, said Scarlett. Yes, one of them did carry some fairly impressive power, but he chose to work outside the auspices of the council, and that will always put him at a disadvantage. When you become part of the council, you have our full support in anything you do. You are never alone again. She found herself nodding. That sounded good. Something was niggling, burrowing into the soft bit beneath her ear, but she shrugged it away. What will I do? You will learn. You will learn the history of magic and how it came to be in today's world. You will learn about some of the greatest magic users the world has ever seen. Okay, so far, not selling it well. I'm hearing writing and history and dull stuff. Where's the fun? He nodded, a ghost of a smile lifting the corners of his mouth. You will have practical magic lessons 6 days a week, in which you will have the opportunity to learn every spell known to man. You will take part in weekly casting contests and specialized workshops for your chosen area of focus. You will learn combat and self-defense. She nodded harder, eyes alight. That sounds amazing. Okay, when do I start? The man waved a hand at the door. You may come with me now, if you desire. If not, any time in... I can be packed in like 5 minutes, she said. I'll just grab my laptop and a few... You may not bring your computer. The world closed in and her breathing grew ragged. No computer. That meant no Tumblr. She knew now how soldiers felt when offered an honourable death or life as a cursed outcast. This was no choice. Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, you can find more at cairnsrights.com and come back in a week for the next episode. You can also find me on Pinterest, Facebook, Goodreads, and Twitter, or email me at michael@cairnsrights.com.